Well, recent data indicates that there's one in 1,000, but you know, you're never going to get a correct figure because there's many people that, many individuals who haven't come out yet, or they're in the closet and leading a very secret life.
Mm-hmm.
And as such, you know, they're not going to come out and express themselves, say, to the gender clinic, which keeps data. And so, you know, it's high, though. I know that there's at least 500 transsexuals in Vancouver, transgender individuals.
And these are ones that you deal with on a regular basis, or...?
Regular and irregular, like I said, you know, there's so many people that have a very difficult time coming to terms with who they are. I guess you could almost compare it to a gay lesbian individual coming out, and it'd be the same for a transgender person, that they would find it very, very difficult coming out. So they might come out and then run right back into the closet again because there's not a lot of resources available, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you internalize emotions that can range from fear and shame and aloneness and despair and hopelessness. And to break that cycle takes a great amount of time.
Now, why did you start PFADE?
Fate.
Fate.
Well, it was, we incorporated ourselves in June of 1993, but we had been going along for about maybe 6 months previous to that. There was a real need, you know, what individuals were saying, that they really needed somewhere to come to and to have moral support and support generally, and so that's why we started. And we knew that if we didn't, there would never be a voice for transgender individuals.
Now, what services do you provide at FADE?
Well, we provide support, peer counseling. We do advocacy. We do referrals, we offer drop-in, and we offer a hotline. We publish a newsletter quarterly that keeps our members and other community participants interested in what we're doing. We've been on some talk shows, and that's about it.
Okay, so let's talk about this, the sort of similarities between the transsexual community and the gay and lesbian community, if you want to call them similarities. But gays and lesbians sort of talk about the coming out process and coming to terms with, you know, who you are and this type of thing. What's the coming out process like for a transsexual?
Well, I think it's much more difficult because I think gay and lesbianism is now understood, and only after diligent efforts of the gay liberation movement in the world. However, our people are still way, way, way behind because of, you know, it's so different that, first of all, you have to come to terms with who you are yourself, which is a very difficult and painful process, and then you have to come out to other people. Now, for instance, if you're married with children, it's you're going to have a very, very difficult time. And many of our people get married thinking that, you know, oh, this problem will go away if I get married and have children, but it never does. And so there's more harm that comes about. So again, until the public is educated, and that's where we've really made the mistake. So many of us, myself included, you know, come out and get help, assistance from the doctors, the medical profession, and then we'll have surgery and that, and sort of, you know, you think that you can lead a normal life, but you can't. There's absolutely no way that you can deny who you are. And why should you? You know, we were all created and with all our differences, and we shouldn't. We should learn to love ourselves and who we are, because we're not bad people.
Now, there's no question that you probably run into sort of phobia, probably about 5 times as much as any gay or lesbian could possibly imagine. But just generally speaking, what do you run into? What has been the experience of the transsexuals that you know coming out to family, friends, spouses, if they've had them? And what are the sort of things that you run into on a day-to-day basis from society?
Well, of course, there's violence. excuse me, there's extreme violence. You know, we've had 2 transsexual murders here in Vancouver in the last 4 months, which is just unacceptable. But, you know, when you come in out to family, there's the belief that you might lose the family because they cannot accept this, you know. And loss of career, loss of job, hatred directed towards you, toward us. You know, we recently had a Vancouver Sun article about our Wednesday high-risk group. And, you know, on the telephone, a caller called in preaching evangelical, I think, religion, and saying that what we were doing was morally wrong, and you know, that person had no right to judge you know, other people, and if what we were doing was wrong, we would never have been created as who we are.
Are transsexuals blatantly discriminated against in the job market? Like, if you have a sex change, will you very frequently lose your job?
Well, definitely there's a problem with work-related experience. For instance, if you've acquired a work history that pertained to a different social gender role, how do you take that into your newfound gender? Or not your newfound gender, but your new, your gender that you're now living. And so, yes, there is discrimination from people that don't understand. If many times, you know, we're conditioned from the time we're little people to growing up. And so women have been conditioned into what females are do and what how they're supposed to behave, and the same with males. And so you have the conflict there, and often an employer might find us kind of strange, or it depends how well you pass as well. If you can pass very well without the employer knowing, then, you know, you won't have a problem. But you can still have a problem. That's not to say that you won't. But it's much more difficult for those that come out later in life, because they'll probably physically, if we take a male to female transsexual, they would have a facial hair to contend with, possibly a deep sounding male voice, you know, all those difficulties.
Mm-hmm. What was your own experience like in the job market?
Well, my own experience was that I came out at a very, very early age, and so needless to say, I had dropped out of school. And when you come out early in your early years, that's going to happen because there's so much pressure as a teenager to be conditioned a certain way, and you don't believe psychologically that, you know, that that's the way that you are. And so anyways, when I, my late 20s, I went back to Capilano College and did my upgrading. You know, and it took me a couple years, but diligently, you know, I made every effort and walked away with that, with most of my grade 12 equivalency. And then I went into job preparation program and learned how to present myself and how to do resumes, and I've been working ever since, so.
But at the moment, is it still legal to discriminate against transsexuals? It's not in the Constitution anywhere that you can't. Is that right?
Well, you show me where you can, where we have protection. I don't believe that we do, because legally, if you're in transition, living as a female, that's what I refer to as living in transition, legally, by the courts, you're considered a male. If you still have a penis, they equate that you're a man, and no, so you wouldn't have any rights. How do you bring something forward? Well, I was discriminated against because of I'm a transsexual. Well, you know, there's nothing in the books in the Human Rights Code that says that you cannot discriminate against specifically a transgendered person. So unless, you know, you can, unless you're legally a female and say, well, I was discriminated against because I'm a woman, you know, but it doesn't equate because there's so much discrimination directed toward us.
Mm-hmm.
I know recently in my job, and I work with, I do life skills work with mentally handicapped adults and teenagers. And I was at a meeting with my supervisor and Ministry of Social Services staff going over a contract. And the social worker picked up that I was transsexual and phoned my boss the following day, my supervisor, and asked if I was. And first of all, he had no business to even ask. That has nothing to do with anything work-related. And my supervisor, being an open person and a gay male himself, probably didn't even think and said yes. And then the social worker said, well, I think we have a problem here, and that, but I'm going to talk to my district supervisor. And they talked, and they came back to my supervisor and said that all my clients that I worked with that were children in the child range, that all their parents would have to be informed of who I was. And, you know, my work informed me of this. I had no idea that this was happening, and I must give my work a lot of credit, you know, the executive director down to the director of support services, and they contacted me and said, you know, we're going to back you up in all of this. They have no right to be doing this, and I thought some political intervention was necessary, and I got the Minister of Social Services office, Joy McPhail's office, involved, and eventually I received a letter of apology, and you know, but that's very frightening.
Well, congratulations to you for doing that, because...
Well, thank you. But not only that, you know, there's talk that, you know, in one of their workshops, when the workers get together, that I requested that they have to take sensitivity training and toward our people. And so that's a plus going in our factor.
Is transsexualism still viewed as a mental disorder in Canada?
Yes, it's still in the statistical Bible, which the psychiatrists use. Although, you know, in fairness, it's listed there, but it needs to be taken out, and the doctors that work with us do not believe it to be a mental illness. So,
So you think it's more just a dated entrance in the medical journal, which has yet to be removed, and that's about the only reason it's still there?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of political pressure from different groups to have that removed. Yes.
Is your organization fighting it actively? Is there anything that you can do?
Well, sure. We can, you know, lobby the gender dysphoria clinic here at Vancouver General Hospital to have it removed, and also some of the other gender clinics across Canada, which there's only one other that I know of, and that's the Clark Institute of Psychiatry in Toronto. So, yes, we do have to do some lobbying here and have that removed.
Now, in Canada, transsexuals who have undergone sex changes do have all the legal rights of a member of the other sex. Is that right? You can marry?
Providing, yes. If you're a Canadian citizen, you can. If you're a British citizen, you cannot. So therefore, if you're are a British citizen and have Canadian citizenship, no, you can't. However, you know, something should be pointed out here, that to gain your legal status, there's an inequality here, that not only the Department of Vital Statistics requires the performing surgeon that has performed gender reassignment to write a letter, but they also request that you go under physical examination by one of their doctors.
Oh, great.
So, exactly. So it's hideous.
It's funny, but it's not.
It's totally against one's constitutional right as well. It's just a crime that you're degraded in such a fashion, you know. But then again, here's our bureaucrats that say, you know, it goes back to this whole scenario of penis equals female and vagina penis equals male and vagina equals female. And that's a physical sex. However, it's not a psychological sex, and it's not a brain sex.
Hear, hear.
Yeah.
How many transsexuals do you think are gay or lesbian? What percentage do you figure?
Oh, I'd say it'd probably be about... Oh, that's really hard to say, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's about at least half. Because whatever your orientation is beforehand, or say, for instance, if you're physically a male, but psychologically you identify as a female, so that makes you transgender, transsexual. So if your orientation is toward women, that's not going to change usually after surgery, so you would in fact be a lesbian.
So do gay or lesbian transsexuals feel supported in the gay and lesbian community?
Well, no. And we're having to do some work there, but we're making a lot of progress. For instance, PFAME, the Pacific Foundation for the Advancement of Minority Equality, we requested from them to be included under their umbrella so, you know, we could do some fundraising and would have charitable tax status. And not only that, we wanted to have their support, their moral support. And there was debate there, and but they came through for us. But I know, you know, there's still not a lot of understanding within the gay-lesbian movement either, and that's where we come in. We have to do our job and educate them. And, you know, they are including us in many, many things, such as names. They do the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, you know, name in the march in Washington. The big gay, lesbian, bisexual event has now included transgender on their masks. So, you know, we're making progress there.
What about the community papers? Like, would you like to see, do you feel supported by Angles or included by Angles? Would you like to see transsexuals on their masthead along with bisexuals?
Oh, absolutely. You know, because there are many transgender individuals that who are gay or lesbian. Now, there's going to be maybe another part of our population, our transgender community, that says, oh no, we shouldn't come under that umbrella because we've been fighting to say that we're not gay and lesbian and we should not be included. However, they're wrong. That little group is wrong because for our members that are gay or lesbian, we have to support them. And we should. And let's face it, the only way that we're going to gain inroads into the broader community is by having support of other minority groups.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to see all transsexuals, whether they're gay or lesbian or not, embraced by the gay community?
Well, that's a difficult answer to a question to answer because I wouldn't want to force someone that considers themselves to be a heterosexual transsexual to have to be included with the group, no. But as a whole, I think, you know, we will be part of the that movement and work in partnership. But
how are you viewed by drag queens and transvestites, as far as you can tell?
Oh, definitely, because drag queens especially, they've faced so much persecution, I think, too, within the gay lesbian movement that, no, we're accepted, and we have their support. And transvestites are an interesting group. I find them functionally, most of them anyway, really frightened and really paranoid and really they want to be able to be out as who they are. However, when push comes to shove, they're not there ready to fight, you know, because they lead secret double lives. And I think anything that's a secret is unhealthy.
At this stage in the game, do you think it's harder for male-female transsexuals or female-male transsexuals to get along in society?
Well, I'd say probably male transsexuals would, of course, have an easier time because it's still a male-dominated world. You know, that stands to reason that it wouldn't be any different.
Mm-hmm.
But I think almost every transgendered person encounters extreme difficulty in their day-to-day living.
Is it important to you to maintain an identity as a transsexual, or if you could have your way, would you just like to call yourself a woman and forget about the whole thing?
Well, the fact of the matter is that, you know, how people perceive you as, when I walk down the street and my friends, you know, how their perception of me is that of a female, and that's how I perceive myself. But the reality of it is that I am a transsexual. You can't ever deny that you were born a certain way and that part of your conditioning life was directed toward that gender. And so once you get into that denial, if transsexuals deny who they are, that I'm a woman and that's it, I'm not a transsexual, I think they're going to really have some really serious emotional problems because there's always something that can happen to you and really hit home and say, oh, wow, you know, this wouldn't have happened to me had I been born female, more than likely. So, and your friends who you're open with, they know because you are open to them, and they know. So, you know, the fact is they treat you as a female, they look at you as a female. However, they still know that you were not born female.
If you had the money and the resources, what additional services would you like to provide to transsexuals, and what additional struggles and activism would you like to take on?
Well, we need to have a center where we can coordinate our services. And that we just had a meeting with Joy McPhail, the Minister of Social Services, so we can try to get a pilot project going here, so we can, you know, hire a full-time coordinator to coordinate services. Because as it is right now, we're offering many things and all on a volunteer basis and without any money. Our Wednesday night group, we provide a hot nutritional meal to high-risk individuals that are transgender. And, you know, we don't have any money coming in for that. We get the odd donation, and then we're running the hotline on Tuesday evenings, and we're running a support group on Friday evenings, and we want to start up a recovery group for those battling addictions, and also we want to start up a survival skills class one day a week for those who are in the high-risk category. And also, we'd like to do another night where we can offer some expertise from different sources for people that are interested in how to present themselves and to be able to have the gender congruency in life to a higher standard where they're not encountering difficulty. And by that I mean, you know, assistance with makeup and possibly how to learn how to walk, maybe a way of softening the voice, and resume writing. All these services have to be offered. But more than that, this center would be a safe place where individuals could come, be themselves, and not have to worry about the outside world. However, in this safe place, they would encounter or obtain all the resources available that they could eventually go out into the greater world and function as they're in the rightful place in society.
Okay, now if somebody wanted to make a donation to you, or is there a membership fee to FATE?
Well, what we do have a small membership fee for those who have jobs, and we waive our membership to those who are underemployed and unemployed. So, and yes, we have a $20 yearly donation fee, and, you know, we have members in our group that are teachers and lawyers and so forth. They can easily afford the $20, but then we have another whole aspect of our group, like I said, that are on the bottom rung of the ladder, if you will, because they're out with who they are, and they've encountered extreme hardship in their lives and have, you know, been forced to survive, and unfortunately, that's through prostitution. And with prostitution, after being in it for any length of time, comes the other antisocial behaviors, which we're really trying to make some inroads in a sense for a pilot project, you know, that we can bring our members that have not come out yet, the teachers, the lawyers, the business people that own their own businesses, and mesh them with the other members of our group that have difficulty and try to work some good out of that.
Now, can people who are not transsexuals join FATE and support it?
Yes, our constitution allows for membership to be open to anyone who subscribes to the objectives of our organization, and our objectives are to promote the well-being of transgender individuals and public education and awareness campaigns. So, yes, anybody, and we welcome anyone to come and support us because we need that support. We, you know, the days of hiding away and being discounted are no longer. We need to get into positions of open positions where we can have some say in different things. So.
Okay, so where do we send the money to?
Oh, it's, yes, apartment number 3,
mm-hmm.
828 East Pender,
mm-hmm.
Vancouver, B.C. Now, there's not going to be any rednecks writing to this address or anything, is there?
I hope not.
No.
I hope they're not listening to my show.
I hope not either. And the postal code is V6A,
mm-hmm.
1W1.
Okay.
And that's Fate, F-A-T-E.
Great. All right. Well, thank you very much, Jamie Lee.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, and I hope, you know, to your listenership that somehow they might come to know and understand us and what we do and who we are, and even if there's someone that's struggling themselves with their transgender identity, that it'll give them some hope. And before we go, our telephone number is 254-9591 for any individual out there at UBC that might find themselves with a transgender identity.
Well, super. And, you know, thanks very much. First of all, you give a great interview.
Why, thank you.
And it sounds like you've really got your shit together. So best of luck. And if there's anything that you'd like to talk about on the show in future, I'll give you my number.
Okay.
If you've got an event coming up or something that you'd like to promote. You can call me. My work number during the day is 273-7797.
Okay.
And my first name is Heather.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Heather. And
no problem. And I'll send you a tape of this once it's on cassette.
Oh, that's wonderful.
All right.
And the show will be on at 9 tonight?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks very much.
Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
This is Rafael Geronimo from BC Salsa. This is Falsario on 101.9 FM Ritmo Latino.